Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. From 20 to 10, a winnowed Democratic debate stage last night in Houston.
Imagine what would be possible right now with ideas that are bold enough to meet the challenges of our time, but big enough as well that they could unify the American people.
We have got to recognize that this country is moving into an oligarchic form of society.
I've actually never met anybody who likes their health insurance company.
There's enormous, enormous opportunities once we get rid of Donald Trump.
We have a white supremacist in the White House, and he poses a mortal threat to people of color all across this country.
It's not a referendum on Donald Trump. It's a referendum on us and who we are and who we're going to be together.
And now, President Trump, you can go back to watching Fox News.
Woo! So what were the biggest headlines from last night, and did anybody shake up their standings in the still crowded field? For more, we welcome in Susan Tracy, a Democratic strategist and president of The Strategy Group. Susan, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We also have in Studio 3 Michael Curry. He's the former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and a member of the National NAACP's Board of Directors. Michael, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
And you. We want to hear from them, but we also want to hear from you. What did you make of last night's debate? Have you decided who you'll be voting for in 2020? What's the most important issue to you in 2020? And is it getting the attention it deserves? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Susan and Michael, let's start with you. What were your reactions from last night? Susan, go ahead.
You know, my reaction, kind of top level, I don't think the field changed last night. I think, you know, the kind of the front runners are the front runners. I think we all learned a little bit more about the rest of the field because it was a smaller group. And I feel like Mike's sort of bigger, maybe this is my Democratic, perspective on it, was it was really amazing to look at that stage and see a field of candidates that looked like the United States. You know, it was diverse. There were women. There were minorities. There was a gay member. There was a veteran. And, that's the first time I've seen that kind of a field. So I felt pretty proud of that.
There was a huge age range, too.
Absolutely. Actually.
Yeah. Michael, how about you? What were your reactions?
You know, it's interesting. I don't watch a lot of professional baseball until the playoffs. And I don't watch a lot of professional football. Well, that's not true. Football I watch. I felt like we were at the playoffs now.
Interesting.
The better candidates were there. And you're looking for clarity, passion, some understanding of the issues. And I felt like we were finally at that point. We're the best candidates. We're now debating the issues.
All right. So were there any winners or losers last night? Susan, sorry. I'm supposed to traffic cop and I didn't. I just got all excited about the script. Susan, any winners last night?
You know, I think you'd have to say that Biden was a winner and Warren were winners because they probably stay at their perch, right? They probably stay where they are. I think the big loser last night had to be Castro.
Interesting.
You know, yeah, I feel like that kind of ageist slap, you know, that wasn't an issues slap. That was an ageist slap at Biden, and I think that hurt him a lot.
Let's play that cut, actually. It was during the health care discussion, but it was not about health care.
You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago?
Michael, I was struck by that. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, I wasn't as offended by it. I think ultimately they're going to get much worse from Trump. So it's a good preparation for that debate. Castro was calling into question his memory of the things he said, the contradictions. I didn't think that was offensive. I thought Castro did very well. Winners for me were Warren and Biden. I thought the two of them were the strongest of the candidates. Kamala Harris wasn't as strong as she normally is. Cory Booker was much better than I've seen in any other debate.
And any losers from your perspective?
I think, you know, those that are falling towards the end of the polls are the ones that were not as strong in the debate. And I think it's, you know, people are jockeying for time. Castro, I thought, was okay. He could have been stronger. And I've been kind of rooting for him to be stronger. O'Rourke is always a win for me because he hits the issues of race. He is deep on the issue of gun control and what he experienced in El Paso. Credit to him for that. I don't find much there beyond that. And I struggle with him as well. I don't know if there's any losers. I just think there's standouts.
All right. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Join the conversation with us. And I'm going to bring another person into the conversation. For a view from the other side of the aisle, we have Ed Lyons. He's a Massachusetts Republican activist and political writer. Ed, thanks for joining us.
Good to be back.
And why don't you give us your top level reactions?
Well, this is like being in the produce section of 7-Eleven. You're not really sure if any of it is safe.
It's not.
It doesn't seem like these people are preparing for the debate to come. I think we're going to have this big cultural war a year from now. It's going to be really ugly. And very little of this seems to have anything to do with preparing for that. And I heard a lot of proposals where I don't think there's majority support. I think the majority of the country wants to get back to normal, wants to stop hiding their children from the television screens. I think that's the mandate here. And fighting over whose health care plan, I think this has nothing to do with what was actually going to happen.
All right, but I want to ask, I'm not confident that in the general election debates against Donald Trump, we're going to be able to stop hiding our children from the television screens. Is it going to get really better then?
No, it will be worse. And I was hoping that somebody would be able to address what's coming, that maybe the Democrats would find some Abraham Lincoln character who would be able to win the war and then somehow heal the country. But I haven't seen it. But I have to recognize that this early that you don't see who's going to look great a year from now. So I have to restrain myself. But I found the healthcare debate very, very disappointing. I found it like Eva, I agree with Kamala Harris that it was very what kind of a headache. So I really didn't like what I saw at all.
All right. Actually, Michael, go ahead.
So I typically agree with him on some things. but I will say the healthcare debate was a robust debate. It was about access.
It was long.
It was a strong beginning of the debate. And I thought there were some standouts. I thought we litigated Medicare for All and the understanding that millions of Americans, even under the Affordable Care Act, will not have health insurance. And if we have the values that we want everyone to have access to coverage, keeping them out of the ER, and out of inpatient days, which are more costly, let's debate how do you open the tent to get more people coverage. That was healthy. I actually like substance. I think oftentimes, particularly with this president, we will not get substance. Democrats brought substance last night. I think that's empowering, and I think that's encouraging going into this election cycle.
Let's take a couple of calls. Travis from Route 28. How's it? Let's try that again. Travis, Route 128. You're in the conversation. What's on your mind?
I'm not sure whether what I'm hearing is from people who actually watched the debate last night. I haven't heard the name Bernie Sanders mentioned once.
Now, so, Travis, did you watch and you felt Bernie Sanders was a strong performer?
Completely, yes. But more importantly, his ideas predominate. His ideas are the only ideas that make any sense. And what your panel is behaving exactly like the rest of the media, the Boston Globe this morning, et cetera. Bernie Sanders is a no-show. He doesn't exist. He has been completely marginalized, and I frankly find it absurd.
All right. So, Travis, I'm going to add one more voice to yours, Emily from Westford, who I think also wants to talk about Sanders. Go ahead, Emily.
Hi. I actually thought that I heard a lot of substance last night, particularly from Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, and also Yang really shined for me last night. And the only real loser in my mind was actually Biden, who just didn't really give a lot of strong ideas to contradict the bold progressive ideas that they put forward.
All right, Emily, thanks. So we have two callers, Susan, who say, wait a minute, Bernie has shaped this discussion. He was there. He was strong. What about him?
Well, I think that because we've seen Bernie for 4 years and we've heard his issues and his ideas, I think that's part of how you get lost in it a little bit, because there's nothing new there that people see. Not to take away his ideas or his thinking, but when you're watching something for the first time, many of the people are new to the stage. You haven't heard them speak before. And so you're looking for that newness, much the way that last caller said Yang was interesting to me, because she hadn't seen Yang before. I don't think we hadn't seen Warren, who, you know, is taking up Bernie's mantle in many ways, Warren and Biden next to each other. So I think it's the curiosity of those who are following these races that maybe draws you to some of the other candidates. And Bernie's not – what he's saying is not new to us.
So, Ed – sorry, Michael.
I just want to apologize to your caller, because I think Bernie did a great job last night.
Yeah, it's not
– I think the issue for Bernie is – for me, is it's like a parent who yells at you a lot. And after some point, it just becomes yelling.
Yeah.
As people have gotten used to Bernie with that passion, and it doesn't adjust right? It's not new, yep, to your point. So I think, you know, to your caller's credit, I think he's spot on with pushing us on healthcare, with education, with the criminal justice. I know his team. You know, I've become very good friends with members of his team. They're exciting young people that are working for him. So, you know, my apology to the caller. Bernie Sanders was definitely there last night and was a strong contributor to that debate.
So we have a couple of other callers on the lines who want to talk about Bernie Sanders, but I'm going to move us now into some of the issues. I feel like we've done a good job looking at who was on the stage and kind of how they showed up. I want to come back to healthcare, Michael Curry, for a minute, because you talked about, you know, this was a really substantive debate. Ed, it doesn't sound like you thought it was a winning debate for the Dems. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, they're just talking to themselves about this, that you know, who's going to outlaw private insurance, and does your plan cover 5 million more people than my plan? That seems irrelevant. I have no belief that the general election will have anything to do with those things. I think it's fine to briefly express a desire to get more coverage, to fix the inequities of the system. To say that everybody doesn't like their health insurance is really inaccurate. I really disagree with Senator Warren on all that. I think that what they're talking about is not really where the American public is at, although I do think the frustration with healthcare is pretty big.
So here's Kamala Harris saying the debate isn't between us about healthcare. The debate is between the Democrats and President Trump.
Frankly, I think this discussion has given the American public a headache. What they want to know is that they're going to have health care and cost will not be a barrier to getting it. But let's focus on the end goal. If we don't get Donald Trump out of office, he's going to get rid of all of it.
So, Susan, I don't want to say it's internecine, because there's a pretty big difference between let's do more Obamacare and let's go Medicare for all. These are not small distinctions. But is it a winning strategy for Democrats to fight inside about how much we rehaul health care when most people just want health care and just want to beat President Trump?
You know, I think we've seen in every poll that the largest factor for who people are going to choose who they, you know, for whom they're going to vote is who can beat Trump. So I do think that that is the overriding issue in the Democratic primary. I just do. And I, you know, agree a little bit that, you know, while Michael, I hear you in terms of having a conversation. I don't know how in-depth one can get in a stage of 10 people with, you know, 60-second answers. You know, if you want depth, you go to their websites and you read their policy papers. I don't think that forum of a debate is really where you're looking for depth. You're looking for some idea of whether people are moderates or liberals and which lane they're in, as they say. And you're looking for, who do I like? Who do I feel good about? And who do I think can beat Donald Trump? So I think you have to kind of, I think, go back and say, what are people really trying to get out of this debate?
All right. In a minute, I'm going to go to a break. But before I do, the lines are full. So I'd like to get a few caller voices in before we go to break. Mary from Andover, join the conversation.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm curious, given how much time was spent discussing health care last night, why women's health care in particular and the number of states that have been rolling back access to it, that never came up, not once.
Michael, you're nodding.
I think it's an oversight. I think if you talk about Title 10 and the attack on Title 10 by this Trump administration, it was an oversight for the Democratic Party not to go there. So she's right. I think, you know, a robust conversation about public charge. I do believe you can't get too deep into substance in a debate, but you can give people bite sizes. Mm-hmm. I think, as I heard the figure, 10 million people uninsured or underinsured, you might not remember everything about a healthcare conversation, but you remember that number. Yeah. So I think that there was an excellent job last night. They did miss some critical points. Title 10 is one of those.
All right, one more call. Michael, you're on 93 North. Join the conversation.
Hi, I'm a young college student, and I have not met a single person in my age demographic who supports Biden. And I think one thing that was very apparent last night was the lack of discussion about climate change. And I think the pulse of the young people in this nation is very much leaning towards Sanders and people who are active on their stance on climate change. And I'm just curious as to you guys' thoughts on what younger people in this nation are feeling and thinking.
All right, so I'm going to give our guests a chance to think about that while we take a quick break. Susan, Ed, Michael, stay with us. We're going to take a short break, and we will come back and talk more presidential debate. I'm Tiziana Dearing. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. We are going to jump right back into our analysis of last night's Democratic presidential primary debate in Houston. Here with us in Studio 3 is an expert panel. Susan Tracy is a Democratic strategist and president of the Strategy Group. Susan, thanks for being here.
Sure.
Michael Curry is the former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and a member of the National NAACP Board of Directors. Michael, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And Ed Lyons, Massachusetts Republican activist and political writer. Ed, thanks for joining us as well.
Good to be back.
All right. So, Michael and Susan, before the break, we had a caller who said, where are the young people's issues, especially climate change? So, Susan, what about it?
One, the caller's right. I mean, climate change, I think, is a critical issue, and it's certainly going to be one that, you know, young people are going to gravitate around. And I don't think we're going to have a Democratic nominee who doesn't have some kind of a thoughtful plan around climate change. So 100% agreement. You know, I would go back to something I said earlier. You know, I think that it's hard to get to every issue on a debate stage with 10 people and four reporters asking questions. You know, even though it was a long debate, I think that there are always going to be things. We didn't talk about the economy at all last night. There was no discussion on the economy.
Especially not jobs, college savings,
nothing,
that kind of thing.
Nothing. Yeah. So I think there were a lot of issues that were should have been on the table that weren't. And I think we have some time to get to those issues. They're big, they matter, and I agree with the caller.
So, Ed, there were a lot of calls before the break. Hey, you're focusing on the wrong things, the wrong people. I'm not hearing about young people's issues, et cetera. Did the debate focus on the right things last night to beat Donald Trump in the general election?
No, it focused on a lot of things that could happen if one of these people won and had 65 senators in place. I think that there's no reason to believe any of these things will happen. There's no mandate for the Green New Deal. There's no mandate for overhauling the entire healthcare system or taking everybody's guns away. There's no consensus for any of those things. So I want to see people are going to look at Donald Trump and his competitor and say, who's going to provide a framework for security and prosperity for me in general and judge them on their character and what they can expect in the future, probably during a not-so-awesome economy. I don't think that if the economy tanks, we're going to do the Green New Deal. That's ridiculous. So I think it's time if the Democrats want to take over the White House, they have to be able to articulate how they would actually govern. And govern is not about policy papers. It is about a lot of other things.
Michael.
Yeah, I think we have to be aspirational, right? We talk about the Green New Deal. There's the war on poverty. We can't over-focus on Donald Trump. We have to focus on the fact that there are issues that we should be aspirational about. Gun control, education. And I think the Democratic Party and the leading candidates are pitching and proposing things that will make the public think and generate ideas. And maybe we shift public awareness and interest in a way that they then say, you know what, maybe we can do something about climate control. But we should not play to Donald Trump. I think we're remiss. We're at fault if we're over-focusing on him and lowering the bar just to win.
All right, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to be part of the conversation. Maria from Lawrence, please go ahead.
The major issue in the United States is there's not a clear perception about the degree of depravity with respect to the medical delivery system. We're a family with three generations of doctors, and the age of death is increasingly younger. The incidence of cancer is ever rising. The capacity of the American population to understand the situation is extremely limited, and Bernie Sanders is quite brilliant. One of the difficulties is just that. It is brilliant and not understood.
All right. I appreciate that, Maria. I do. And I think you've given us a good recap to our healthcare debate. You know, I want to move on from Bernie Sanders and dive into some more of the issues. One of the issues that it does seem like we're struggling with as a country is this question of gun control. It's come up a couple of times in this discussion. It was one of those moments also that I wonder if Dems pitted themselves against Republicans in a pretty powerful way. Let's listen to Beto O'Rourke. This was clearly one of the big moments of the night last night.
And in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Okay, so there are a couple things I want to talk about in that, and I basically have a question for each of you on this. So, Susan, to start, there was a lot of fire and passion in that. Do the Democrats need to have more of that fire and passion at this stage to keep voters engaged and to distinguish themselves?
I think Beto has added a new debate question for the future, which is should we be taking away military-style weapons from people? So I think that exchange last night invited a new conversation at the highest level, and you'll probably see it in congressional and Senate races as well. I admired him for that. You know, he was obviously, you know, it was in his town that the last of many shootings took place. So I understand his fire and his passion. And quite frankly, I think, you know, when you read numbers like 90% of the public wants background checks, wants something to happen, you know, I just think that the time is ripe for this conversation and for this level of passion.
So, Michael Curry, to that point, here's Amy Klobuchar saying, hey, the Dems have done this. This is Mitch McConnell's fault that we haven't gotten further along.
What unites us is that right now on Mitch McConnell's desk are three bills: universal background checks, closing the Charleston loophole, and passing my bill to make sure that domestic abusers don't get AK-47.
So even when the Democrats are leading on this, the laws aren't getting passed. Does that piece of it need to be in the gun control conversation?
It does. The Senate is holding up legislation. And quite frankly, the NRA is controlling this conversation. They are putting the money that is preventing this from moving forward. It's courage. And after Columbine, after Newtown, if we can't get there, something is really wrong with us as a people. And I don't attribute that just to Republicans or to Mitch McConnell. We as a country, if we cannot get there when we have kids dying and people dying in malls and on street corners every day in this country, shame on all of us for not holding Mitch, the Senate, and the entire Congress accountable for that.
So Ed, Michael talked about the NRA at the beginning of that comment. I did wonder when Beto O'Rourke says, you know, hell yes, we're going to take your guns, is he handing an effective attack ad to the opposition? Because the NRA has been saying, hey, the Democrats want to take your guns.
Go type into Google right now. It's already working. This is madness. There's no mandate to take away this kind of weapon. The Armalite rifles, there's so many kinds of them. It isn't even a gun. It's a platform. There are extraordinary number that we're not going to take them away. And for the Democrats to say to some guy, you're going to choose between your rifle and a Democrat is absolutely the wrong decision right now. I can't believe Bill Clinton once decided to calm down about gun control because he was just losing people who he needed for other things. There is public support for Massachusetts-style gun laws, registration, references, a bunch of little things. That's what the support is. This I'm going to take your gun away is just powering the conservative to say, yep, we got to stick with Trump because I don't want to choose between my gun and Kamala Harris. It's just insanity.
All right, so we've got 1 minute left. So we're going to do a rapid fire, and I'm just going to ask you, there's another debate next month. What should the big focus be in the next one? Susan.
Oh, that's a tough one right off the bat. But I do
surprise.
Think, yeah, surprise. I do think that I'd like to see a different style of debate. I think this kind of throwing questions at people, I'm kind of sick of it. I'd like to see some format changes where we could get candidates to start talking to one another and maybe get a little bit more of a dynamic. So less about an issue for me, more about format.
Okay, Ed Lyons.
I'd like to hear more about character. I'd like to hear about management. I'd like to hear about the things about actually being president. They could ask President Obama to talk about his experiences in actually being president, something like that. I'd like to hear a more realistic assessment of what the job actually is, which is not putting out proposals that are never going to pass.
Okay, Michael, in a few words.
Yeah, I agree. Format change. And I'd like the next debate to be focused on what the damage that Donald Trump has done, not only with our Supreme Court and the placements on the court, but within the administrations under his authority. There is a lot we're losing there, and they need to debate that, discuss that, and present an alternative plan.
Okay, that's Michael Curry, former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and a member of the National NAACP Board. Michael, thanks.
Thank you.
Also with us is Susan Tracy, Democratic strategist and president of the Strategy Group. Susan, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And Ed Lyons, Massachusetts Republican activist and political writer. Ed, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. We're produced by Zoe Mitchell, Chris Sitterick, Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, and Walter Wolfman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tiziana Deering. I hope you'll join us again next week for more Radio Boston.